All right, it's time to begin our Sunday school lesson today. Please open your Bibles to Psalm 119. We'll give reading to verses 169 to 170. These are the words of David. David says in verse 169, "Let my cry come before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word." You cannot read the Psalms. You cannot read the life of David without being convinced David was a man of prayer. David prayed. David was a man that had many priorities. He was a warrior. He was a king, King David. But it is evident that one of his priorities was prayer. There's a reason for that. And we need to discover those reasons and to consider them. And I'm looking at these reasons as things that encouraged David to have and maintain a life of prayer. Seems that we all at some time in our life have experienced crying out to God because of some emergency, some drastic need. Peter, sinking in the water, was encouraged to pray. By what? By his life being threatened. And that caused him to cry out to God. David prayed for protection many times. His life was in danger. He was threatened by the enemy. David prayed for guidance. It's very obvious, the wording of his prayers that we have to read and to study. He sought divine guidance. How often do we need guidance in matters of business, matters of family, matters of our own personal Christian life, decisions? David prayed for forgiveness of sin. Psalm 51, Psalm 25. Look at them, read them, study them, see them. The weight and guilt of his sins brought him to pray and to confess and to seek peace of heart and mind. To sum that up, we just simply see that there were various needs in his life. Some physical, some material, some generally spiritual. And those needs, many times, are our needs. We have physical needs, we have material needs, we have spiritual needs, we have the care and the concern of our loved ones and their needs. There are some things that we need to consider and learn and see as a good reason to pray. Sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? A good reason to pray. Nonetheless, there are those things that should be much of concern. The lack of prayer in your life is not to be taken lightly. We can get by with neglecting things for a while, physically, materially. But if you don't balance your checkbook for several months or a year, you're going to have some problems. If you don't get proper exercise, then the time comes when there's a price to pay. Maintaining a life of good health, diet, exercise, not easy, but certainly easier than suffering the consequences that result from that. You know that I personally, by God's help and grace and discipline, try to maintain a schedule of physical exercise. But it's not easy, I'll tell you that. I've made the statement that when it comes my scheduled time to exercise, I can think of 37 reasons why I shouldn't. It's just like that. I have a friend that he is a source of encouragement. Frequently he will ask me, how was your workout? And it's like my conscience speaking to me. And I've never told him that he's an encouragement to me, but there is an element of encouragement just because I know that he's probably in our conversation going to say, how was your workout? So, all of that to say, there are certain things in our life that require the disciplines of life. But to neglect those disciplines of life, there's a price to pay. Eventually. Maybe not right away, maybe not so drastically, maybe drastically. But I want to suggest to you that a lack of prayer takes us into the category of sin. The fact that we are negligent. It's a sin of negligence. And like if you neglect certain areas of physical or even your finances, you pay the price. And when we neglect praying, we pay the price. It's disobedience to God. Not praying implies some things that we perhaps have never taken a serious look at. And to neglect prayer basically means you don't have anything to say to God. That's pretty blunt. It's nonetheless obvious. If I don't call you or send you a text, if I don't talk with you or communicate with you, part of the reason is because I really don't have anything to say to you. Now, do we have anything to say to God? Do we have anything to give him thanks for? Do we have any concerns about health, finances, my own spiritual life, my children, my grandchildren, my church, missionaries? There's plenty. But if we don't go to God in prayer with them, those issues, then it's simply saying, I don't need God's help. So that's something that can drive us to prayer, if we consider that very seriously. There's another very serious issue about being careless of our prayer life. Throughout Scripture, by example, by instruction, by command, we are told to pray. Pray without ceasing. When you pray, pray after this manner. Not if you pray, when you pray, assuming you will pray. So, we find these things in God's Word that we either ignore or we take them seriously. Let me suggest some. Think of this. We have access to God. Does that grip you? Does that impress you? That you actually have access to God in prayer? I had the privilege of shaking hands with Mr. Hoover, head of the Bureau, FBI. For all of that had to be set up and supervised, and not just me, my classmates as well. It was simple. It was quick. We simply walked through his office, shook his hand and greeted him, and he wished us well. Next person. All of that to say that at that moment I had access to his office. Access to him as a person. But there were times when I did not have access to him. Period. That was very rare that I would have that opportunity. While you're sitting there right now, you have access to God. You can lift your heart to God in prayer for your pastor, for some who are not here today. Even right now, you can do that. That's access to God. What a privilege. And I'm going to couple with that. Christ is at the right hand of God, interceding for you now. At the right hand of God. What more motivation do we need to pray? Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Since, therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, there's your access, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us ignore it. Let us draw near. Prayer, communion, where to go. I remember mentioning this on occasion, but I think it might help us. All of us are certainly familiar with the Castillo family that attend, many of them, our church, that we met years ago back in the 50s when we were working in West Dallas. And there was a young boy that lived in West Dallas, and his name was Basilio Alfaro. And just a kid, barefooted, running around in West Dallas. He grew up, he went to Bob Jones. He took my place as director of the Institute in Hermosillo when I left to go come back to Phoenix as assistant director of the mission. And one day he was witnessing to somebody he knew. And the person said to Basilio, "I'm very, very sad and sorrowful these days because my priest died." And Basilio told him, "Well, I'm very sorry to hear that." And then Basilio said, My priest died also." And the man said, "Oh, that's so sad." He said, "No, it's okay. My priest rose again from the dead." And what a powerful witness and statement. And what a truth. We so ignore, and I'm guilty and we're all guilty, of giving much thought or concern to the fact that Christ is at the right hand of God interceding for us now as we worship at all times. Shouldn't that be a reason to pray? Among many. Closely related to that, is the fact that Christ is not only interceding, our intercessor, it goes a bit beyond that. We have in Christ an advocate. Are you familiar with that term, advocate? You know what it means? To have somebody that's on your side. To have someone on your side. A court hearing is going on. You have an advocate, someone to appear to testify in your favor. To give credibility to you as a person or to your testimony. It's someone who perhaps is your attorney in a court situation. John tells us in his epistle, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate." Before the throne of God. Our Lord's words to Simon, "Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you." Do we take that seriously at all? Let me give you something else to think about. We have a God who is generous in his answering our prayers. Whether our need is physical, material, spiritual, generosity is a quantity that belongs to God. This week, I've mentioned it to some of you this morning. A friend of mine that knows about my son made available as a gift to my son a rather large sum of money to help with his medical bills and lack of income during this time whenever they're putting him on limited work, and he's had to miss even a lot of that to be in the hospital, and will miss even more. And his insurance is high deductible, and it doesn't take very long, as you well know, for medical bills to accumulate. Again, I say it was a very liberal gift. God is a generous God. He answers many times far beyond what we anticipate or could even imagine. Doesn't that somehow cause me to come to God, knowing He blesses beyond many times? Do we not read in Ephesians, our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think? He's not stingy with us. We have many reasons God is gracious. God is, let me put it this way, kindly disposed to his people. He's a righteous God. He's not calloused and hard-hearted and insensitive, who sits upon the throne with little or no compassion or concern for his people. Think of it. God's heart is open to at all times to his elect. Well, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Let's read, beginning with verse 11. Luke 11, verse 11. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish, he will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Look at those words. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men, what is that next word? Generously. Generously. And without reproach. And it will be given him. These are truths, dear people, that somehow ought to grip us and cause us to come to prayer regularly. Do we need more reason to come? Could we not conclude and say amen and wait for the worship service to begin? There's more and more. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Don't pass over that lightly. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But, there's that little word but again. Makes all the difference in the world. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Do you see what this is telling us? We have a divine helper that dwells within us, that intercedes with groanings which cannot be uttered. I would assume that you may have, in your experience as a Christian in your lifetime, experienced heavy, tremendously heavy burdens. So soul gripping that you cannot even speak words. I have not gone through those experiences often, but I have some, where all I could do was weep. That's all. I could not even get the words out. Just cry my heart out. But those groanings, dear people, are prayers to God. He understands those groanings. He knows what they mean. What a privilege that is. That just is an encouragement that even if I'm burdened to the point that I cannot express my burden, God hears our cries. And He knows. And He answers. Does God answer prayer? Yes, He does. How many answers to prayer have you had? in your life as a Christian, as a believer? Right now, for a moment, just kind of let your thoughts go back a year, 5 years, 10 years. Has God answered any prayers for you? Be interesting if we had the time to hear about them. When we were working in Mexico, we were on occasion traveling back from Arizona to Hermosillo to the Institute, and somebody had donated a printing press to the school. And our school was named Instituto Práctico Ebenezer, and that simply means a practical institute, Ebenezer. And one of our emphases was teaching young men a trade so that if they became a pastor and the church was just beginning or not doing well or whatever the case, they had a way of making an income for their family. Hence the word practico in Spanish, practical. So we taught carpentry and we taught printing. Somebody had donated a printing press, and I had it in the back of a pickup that had a camper in it. My wife was with me, and we were traveling back, and I knew that it would be a hassle to pass the 25-mile mark where they inspect more strictly. And I knew that it was going to be a hassle, and maybe we'd have to turn around and go back. And as we were nearing the inspection station, in my heart, I was praying. I said, Lord, somehow help us to get through this inspection station. So we got to the place to pull off and slow down and get up to park. But in answer to our prayer, the inspector of the aduana agencies happened to be there at that station from Mexico City. And he got out of his car and started walking in towards the inside. And that took precedence over anything else that was happening. And the guy that was out front, he just said, go back, go, get him, go. And waved us on. Thank you, Lord. Timing perfect. Got the printing press there. And God answered prayer. You say, was it illegal? No, not really, because the assumption would have been that we were going to take the printing press down to Mexico and sell it and make money, which is not true, and that would have been illegal. But as a gift to the Institute, we were okay. It's just that you can't explain all of that at that kind of a situation. But that was an answer to prayers like that. Perfect timing. Not a second off in timing. God answers prayer. That sure is an encouragement that we pray. Now, beyond that, a real help that we have is that we have instruction on how to pray. The Lord's Prayer, David's prayers, prayers of other men of the Bible, the apostles themselves. And I would suggest that we do well to study the prayers of the men, the saints of the Bible. We learn much from their prayers. And again, and I have emphasized this on other occasions, but I do so again. We need to memorize some of those prayers and pray them ourselves. I've said it often, but I have found much, much comfort in doing that. Or turning other portions of scriptures into prayer. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. First prayer request. Lord, help me to avoid the counsel of the ungodly. Lord, help me as I may have opportunity to give counsel to others that it will be godly counsel. Great petition of prayer right there in front of you. So it's exhaustless, the help that we have, the resource that we have to pray. We sin. We confess our sins. Psalm 51. David's confession. Make it your confession of sin. Take those words and pray them to God. We're not left without instruction. We're not left without examples. We have a rich resource. Come to God, whatever your need may be. Then, I want to think, I think that we need to think about some of the benefits of a diligent prayer life. We have all kinds of positive and encouraging results from maintaining that prayer life, such as it will increase your spirituality. It will strengthen you as a believer in your daily walk with God, for the battle of temptations, for the trials and difficulties that come our way. It will bring great peace to your own heart. It will bring joy and contentment. And so, I want us to learn from Psalm 119. David called out to God. He prayed many times, often. So should we. So should we. Well, let's pray. Gracious God, I pray that you will hear our petitions this morning as we seek your blessing upon our lives. We must confess that we need to be more disciplined and more diligent. And may we see the results of that in David's life, and that he truly was a man of prayer. We pray and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.